Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise up from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But as for you, stay in the city until you put on power from on high. And now verse 51, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Here was his promise, that he would clothe them with power from on high, but not before his visible ascension to the third heavens. What happened in that ascension, and why is it important for us to know about it? This is what we'll see in our final 2 programs from this life study of Luke. And Francis Ball has joined us for our next to the last program. And Francis, I'm also glad that I could be back for these last 2 programs. We weren't sure there, but I want to thank Matt Miller for sitting in the days that I was away getting a little rest. But I'm very happy that the Lord allowed I could come back for at least these last 2 programs. I've so enjoyed this life study.
Yes, we're happy to see you back, Chris. And we enjoyed working with Matthew while you were out. But we're glad you're up and around and doing well. But this is a marvelous conclusion to all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man on the earth. Now, as a man in the glory, he's been exalted and ascended to the highest place in the universe. And we'll see what all that involves today, I believe, on today's program.
We will. Today and tomorrow, we've kind of split it into 2 parts because there's a lot of material here. But even reflecting on these verses that we read at the end of Luke in chapter 24, the matter of the resurrection is there, of course, which implies his death. And I think all the Christians are familiar and comfortable and appreciative that the Lord Jesus suffered death for us, that we could be redeemed and take care of the sin problem, and that he raised up from that death in resurrection. But I think it's fair to say that most believers, and I would include myself, I don't know how you feel, but have not paid enough attention to what we saw in verse 51, that before he comes back as the Spirit with power that they experienced in Acts, and we'll get into that later, he first ascended before their eyes.
This is a marvelous fact, and I think we're going to see some of the objective matters concerning this ascension in this program today. And then we'll see also, before I think you're through with the book of Luke, the importance of seeing this in a very subjective, experiential way.
Francis, in the life study, and I think even in the message today, we will hear Witness Lee use an analogy regarding the ascension, and the analogy is to an inauguration. Mm-hmm. Why is this a helpful way to view the ascension?
Well, because we know that the Lord Jesus was that man that was well-pleasing in the Father's sight. He has been chosen. He has been through all these experiences of incarnation, human living, and even to crucifixion, and even now resurrection. Now he's to be ascended. He's to be inaugurated, as you pointed out. He's to be brought into that position and to that status as the highest power and the highest person in the whole universe, the administrator of the universe. So it's quite important that we see this inauguration or this ascension, what it means to us today.
Of course, inauguration is something we typically might associate with a presidency in our country, in our form of government. We have an election in November, but the president doesn't actually take office until late in January, I believe. So we've got this period in there where, in a sense, he's designated, but the official assumption of the office takes place on Inauguration Day. That's the day he really becomes president.
That's right, and that really fits the picture. That's a picture of what fits here.
So all that had been accomplished in his earthly ministry and now in death and even in resurrection until that ascension takes place, and there was this somewhat formality established to his lordship and his headship in the universe, it's a whole different picture then, isn't it?
That's right, because he became a man. Now this man has been brought into glory.
Wow. Well, there's a couple of verses that we want to touch in Hebrews that help us see him in ascension. Witness Lee will refer to these, so I thought I'd read them. They're both very short. In Hebrews 2, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little inferior to the angels because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death on behalf of everything." And then in chapter 12, a verse that I've loved from the first day I got saved, I believe, "Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God."
Amen.
Crowned with glory and honor, and enthroned on the throne of God. This is the status he enjoys, Francis.
That's it.
Let's go to Witness Lee.
In the objective aspect of his ascension, the man Savior was crowned with glory and honor. And this glory and honor was considered as a crown. Glory denotes the condition, the state. And honor refers to the position, highly ranked. Christ is in a state that is the glory. And Christ is in a rank, in a position that's above all kings and all lords. So that is his honor. And also, he was enthroned. He was put into God's throne. Revelation chapter 22, it says, "The throne of God and of the Lamb."
Amen.
Two persons, but one throne. Not the thrones, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the river of life flows out of this unique throne. So they too sit on one throne. This means God administrates the entire universe within and through Christ.
Amen.
So by this you can see he's enthroned with God.
Amen.
God is on the throne. And now this very God is one with him. In other words, his ascension is his enthronement. He got enthroned for God's administration. Now he is made the Lord to possess the whole universe and to possess all God's chosen people. He's the Lord of the angels, right? He's the Lord of God's chosen people, and he's the Lord of the heavens, and he's the Lord of the earth, and he's the Lord of millions of things redeemed by himself. He has been made Lord of all, and he has been made the very Christ of God to carry out God's commission.
Well, there's an awful lot to chew on, Francis, in this short portion related to his ascension. We see these primary things crowned with glory and honor. I think it'd be good if you could comment on those. But I wanted also to pick up this matter of his enthronement and the way he related it to the portion in Revelation where we see there's only one throne, but it's the throne of both God and the Lamb. So there's an implication here that I think is worth exploring, isn't there?
Yes, there certainly is, Chris, because this is not one incident in all the ministry of the Lord, but this is the top point and the final step,
yeah,
I would say, to put all of his administration into place. As the one who passed through the processes of creation and incarnation and human living and crucifixion and resurrection, this man-savior, with his wonderful status, has now, by this act of ascension, been inaugurated into his heavenly office to execute God's administration and carry out God's New Testament economy.
Wow.
Everything that God does, he does it through Christ. That's the reason we have one throne. There's only one Christ, and that Christ is God. But he is also man. He's also was a creature, as well as the Creator. These are marvelous things we can't figure out just by our natural mentality. We really need the revelation of God's Word to see what a wonderful person this is who has been made both Lord and Christ and the administrator of the whole universe. By his inauguration, he now is in position to carry out all that God wanted to carry out and to bring to fruition all the work that he accomplished while he was here on earth and through his death and resurrection.
Wow. My.
It is marvelous, isn't it?
It is. And I hate to be stammering and stuttering here, but it somewhat leaves you speechless when you consider what is encapsulated in this matter of his ascension.
Uh-huh.
It is really worthy of our attention and our appreciation, far more than I think we've paid to it. Francis, there's a sequence now in this coming portion we want to pay attention to. Then that is that following the Lord's resurrection, he spent some time on the earth with the disciples, visibly and invisibly, and he would appear and then disappear. And we spent some time on that in previous messages. But now we come to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, where the Lord is now poured out upon them, according to the verse we read in Luke, the promise, as the Spirit from on high, or the power from on high. But before that, he must first be ascended. And we have Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to look at here. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The man Savior has been inaugurated into his heavenly office. It's wonderful. Very good. But what has this to do to me? Seems to me too far, too high. Let me say this. John chapter 20 tells us in his resurrection, he came back to the disciples to breathe himself into them. Then, at the very end of the four Gospels, he ascended to the heavens. This Christ who got into them ascended to the heavens to be inaugurated, to be ushered into his post. You have to see this. Now, on the day of Pentecost, he came down. But sorry to say, including me, I didn't realize this. The most we would think, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ died for me, and he resurrected, and he entered into me. Hallelujah. We don't realize there was an ascension. And now the very Christ who lives in us and who works through us is not only the one in resurrection, but also the one in ascension. The one in resurrection is the one full of power in life, but no authority until he ascended and he came down as the Spirit. Now, he's not only with power in life, in resurrection, but also with authority in ascension.
Amen.
The very Christ in resurrection and in ascension lives
Amen.
In me
Amen.
And dwells upon me.
Amen.
He lives in me as life, and he dwells upon me as authority. So many things, reading the Bible just in a very, very superficial way. Nearly no Christian knows what is resurrection here, and what is ascension there, and what is the coming down of the Spirit here. Very few know. This is our burden.
Francis, I hope we can tap into that burden that he was just referring to. On the one hand, we have said that this program today really is focusing on the objective aspects of the ascension. That is, these things that took place apart from us and far away from us, his being crowned with glory and honor, his enthronement. But there is a subjective connection, and I think it's beginning to emerge here. When we have a realization that the one who is in us, who has come into us, is this one who has gone through this ascension, it's important. Why?
Boy, this is a big question, and I feel like Brother Lee has touched on something here that very, very few Christians have an appreciation of, simply because it has not been pointed out in other ministries. But this ministry has really brought us to some of the depths of the Bible that make us appreciate so much who Christ is, where He is, and what He is to us. And especially this matter of His being inaugurated in His ascension. This means that all the authority has been commissioned to Him. And everything that God does is through this one. This one in resurrection is full of life and power. We saw that and we realized that from His resurrection. And when He breathed into the disciples, that was quite an imparting of Christ as life and power into them. But that's not the whole story.
Right.
You can have life and power, but if you don't have any authority, it doesn't amount to a lot of effectiveness. So in His ascension and being inaugurated into the highest place in the universe and given glory and honor, His person and His status has come to a highest point possible. So now, not only He has life, power, but He also has authority. And that authority can be realized and experienced by His believers because on the day of Pentecost, He comes back to them. This is in His ascension. So now we have not only the life breathed into us, but we have the Spirit now clothing us, covering us, and empowering us and giving authority to the church.
Francis, many people may say, isn't it enough to realize that He died for our sins and He resurrected, which means we get to go to heaven? We spend so much time in this ministry and on these programs going beneath the surface. He talked about how many of us read the Bible in a very shallow, superficial way. Mm-hmm. And we do probe the depths here, there's no question. And many times people call it into question and say, is it necessary to go into such great detail? Well, I think we'll get an answer to that question in this final portion today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The very Christ who is now living and working within us Amen. Is the very one in resurrection Amen. With power Amen. And in ascension Amen. With authority. Amen. And He lives. Amen. He's the one lives and works Amen. And operates Amen. In us. Amen. We all have to realize Him to such an extent. Then when we contact Him, the contact will be different. Your realization of Him makes a real difference in your contact with Him. He has gone through the creation. The creation came into being through Him. Then He has gone through incarnation. He brought the very creating God into His creature, into humanity. And He stayed there for 32 and a half years. You have to know Him. Then He went to the cross. He entered into death. He defeated death. And He nullified death. And He walked out of that. And He entered into resurrection. It's wonderful. Then after His wonderful resurrection, and in His resurrection, He ascended. He ascended to the highest of the universe. To the heavens. And there He was crowned with glory and honor. And here He was enthroned in God to be the top administrator in the whole universe. And there He was made the Lord of all and the Christ to carry out God's eternal plan Amen. To get Himself propagated on this earth to produce a body for His expression. Amen. Now, when we contact Him as such a one. Amen. We must contact Him with such a high realization. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have such a Christ.
Amen.
A Christ in ascension,
Amen.
Including all the processes He went through.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, Francis, as we were talking, even though this is a program on his objective status in ascension, here is a real application for our experience, isn't it?
Right, it certainly is.
If our appreciation or our realization of him is limited, that will limit our experience of him, won't it?
Oh, my, that is so true, and it's so much obvious among so many Christians today that their knowledge of him is limited to his crucifixion, in many cases just to that. But even when you know his resurrection and you experience something of his resurrection, that's still not the complete story. The more we know him, even Paul said in Philippians, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And then we see also that Paul brings out clearly that we are partakers of this Christ who is the ascended one and in whom all authority has been given.
Wow.
Everything that he has attained, obtained, and experienced now, all this has been dispensed to the church. And without this knowledge, we really don't realize that though we have the life of God and we have the forgiveness of sins, we yet don't have the authority because we don't understand what was given to the Lord Jesus when he ascended. When he ascended, all authority was given to him. So to know him in his ascension is a much deeper and more practical knowing of him than even to know him as the forgiver of our sins. Mm. We really need to know him. We need to know all that we can of him. It's all revealed in the Bible. And so to experience his resurrection, having life and power, is wonderful. But to experience his authority as his people on the earth today, we can be those who enjoy Christ as the highly exalted one to whom honor, all honor and glory has been given.
Hmm. Francis, you began the program today with an encouragement to our listeners to get these printed messages. There's an example in this printed life study I think I'll throw out here as we close today to help illustrate this point on how important it is that we have a complete realization and appreciation of who Christ is. His analogy was that if we go into a bank and we are confronted with somebody that we know is associated with the bank, but we don't know if this is the bank president or the bank janitor, it will make a big difference, won't it, as to what we experience from that person. And we may be dealing with the president, but we think he's the janitor. That's going to greatly limit what we're able to benefit from that relationship.
Yeah, that surely will. To know a person's status makes a difference of how you respond to him. And if we know he's the president and we're seeking for some assistance from the bank, we know to treat him a different way than we would if he was the janitor.
Amen. Well, we appreciate that the Lord Jesus is the one that died for us and saved us from our sins. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.